Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Harmer, and today I'm joined by Mr. Terence Corrigan. Today we're going to be talking about appropriation without compensation. We're going to be talking about electronic voting in South Africa, and we're going to be talking about President Ramaphosa actually giving an interview, which is a very rare occurrence. Let's get started on this first story. This is something that the good people at Sakalika have brought into the public attention, but it's been bubbling away in the background for a while. And I think for me, Terence, this story really highlights the exact thing we've been worried about when it comes to the expropriation powers that government has put into the Expropriation Act. So in 2019, Ekurhuleni, East Rand, the city government expropriated a 34-hectare property in Driefontein, Boksburg, and then offered the company who owned it, a private company called BBI 900, R0 compensation for this. The municipality said that the reason that they were offering R0 was that it was in the public interest, that the housing needs of thousands of landless people outweigh the rights of the private company. And therefore the state made expropriation without compensation. The owner Business Venture Investments 900 didn't challenge the expropriation itself, but they said they wanted 30 million rand in compensation. This began, interestingly, before the Expropriation Act was passed, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But the story basically goes that in 2019, the municipality took possession of the owner of the property without paying after their issuing of the expropriation notice. The company lodged a claim for 30 million rand. A year later, after several lawyers' letters, the city manager finally said that the compensation amount would be 0 rand. So it took a year just to get that reply from the city. The municipality of Ekurhuleni said expropriation of property at a market value on a willing seller, willing buyer basis is beyond the capacity of the state and would make the fulfillment of the rights in Section 26 of the Constitution an illusion. Section 26 is the part that gives everyone the right of access to housing. The city said that paying millions of rand for a private owner for, quote, undeveloped land would be inequitable. The owner disputed the Metro's claim that the land was unused. They say that they had put an application for formal township development in 2018, and that had initially been approved, but was being held up by an appeals process, which is the only reason that they hadn't begun building on it yet. They also said that while they had been waiting for the appeals process to clear, they had incurred costs for infrastructure and security, and that the city had valued the property at least 24 million rands in terms of its valuation for rates. So the owner has been fighting since 2019 against the city. The case has hit several hurdles. The Metro ignored court orders. It failed to file its expert reports on time. And it have failed to attend a compulsory pre-trial conference in February of 2025. A deputy judge president intervened in March 2025 and said that the Metro has to fully explain its defaults. And so it's possible that the company might win this. But Terence, this was interestingly an attempt by the city of Ekurhuleni to challenge the old expropriation law, which required some compensation, they say. But now it's basically come more into alignment with what the law actually says, which is that you can expropriate property without compensation if it's in the public interest. The very weak defense, I thought, from the government, the national government on this, was the spokesperson for the Department of International Relations and Cooperation said that he didn't know the specifics of this case, but that the new expropriation law does provide for no compensation, but only in circumstances which are very limited. Terence, this seems to be an extremely good example of how that's not really true. What do you make of all of this confusing mess?
Yeah, well, the soothing words only in limited circumstances, etc. That's all highfalutin conceptual stuff. You know, the proof of the pudding, as the saying goes, is in the eating. And no one really knew how this is going to shake out. Now, I believe that the Ekurhuleni mayor, who or a former mayor, who has been a great proponent of expropriation without compensation, was crystal clear about this. First, we start. First, we change the law. Then we abolish Section 25. So, in other words, get rid of property, constitutionally guaranteed property rights. My sense is that what is probably happening here is that this was 2019. You're talking about the heady atmosphere when Section 25 was on the table, when expropriation without compensation was a silver bullet that was going to turn South Africa into the Garden of Eden, which is actually theologically incoherent and illiterate. But let's not go there. I discussed that at the time. And, you know, this was just the thing we needed to open the floodgates to investment, because nothing invites an investor in more than saying, you know, maybe not, we'll take your stuff. So I imagine that this was their attempt, the institutional attempt to push the envelope. The delays are interesting because I've heard this over and over and over again. People who have been subjected to land claims would at least like a basis to discuss the matter. I remember the late 90s getting having a conversation with someone who said that his attorneys had just written to the Minister of Land Affairs, as was the time, instructing her to respond to the last 30 items of correspondence they had said about a claim that had been made on his property. So yeah, we're in a situation essentially where there's very little downside for the state to do it. You know, they seem to sort of have a bulletproof constitution when it comes to wrongdoing. It's not your money that you get to spend on the court cases. You can inflict a lot of damage, and you know, if you are messing up, well, you know, just hand the bill to sort of accounts receivable and maybe it'll be paid. My sense of what they're probably trying to do is they said, okay, we'll lowball you as low as we can, and maybe the court says, well, you're entitled to, you know, something better. But this is clearly not a good faith attempt to, you know, to say, well, what is a realistic quantum of compensation? Because yeah, you know the and also the question about speculation. Sometimes you know for a project you have to acquire things in stages. Not everyone just has all this money lying about, because contrary to the way that much of the state outside the treasury seems to think, investors don't have this big sort of vault full of gold coins which they swim around in like Scrooge McDuck. You know, it's things are a little more complex. But in this case, it wasn't even that the land was being unused. They were prevented from using it for just the purpose that the revered city fathers now claim that they want it. So yeah, you know, all those years of being told that I was a conspiracy monger and I didn't know what I was talking about, and Worm Cyril's got this, and I'm hurting the country's reputation by pointing this stuff out. Well, you know, it gives me no pleasure. Well, it gives me a little bit of pleasure to save. No, but you must understand, not a huge amount of pleasure, not a huge amount. Or actually quite upset, but yeah, you know.
So human beings are complex. You know, this whole saga kicks off even before we've had the change in the law, which has only made it easier for the state. And it's just it lays bare why all of the sort of defenses of the expropriation without compensation stuff that have been offered by its defenders as to say, oh, it's not so bad, are just silly. The courts will make sure it's fair. Well, what if the other side just doesn't play ball with the court and just drags you for years and years crushes you?
Yeah, look, you know, that's the thing. This is 6 years. Now, imagine they come for a private residence with that's paid off 10 years of a 20-year bond. Let's say you're going to sit to and fro paying a lawyer or whatever for 5-6 years before they get their act together. That is literally bankrupt. That's, you know, for a household in this country, which has to provide, you know, for all the stuff that that you tax but are not provided with, that's bankruptcy territory.
I mean, it's bankruptcy territory even for anything except the sort of largest companies, even. You know, you could, you know, you can fight a battle like this. The law, you know, my favorite or least favorite part of the Expropriation Act was that open-ended list of reasons. This is always people, you know, and you see in the defense from the spokesperson from Durco, who I presume is commenting on this because of the threats to our relationship with the U.S. from the stuff. But saying, no, there's only limited circumstances. That's just not true. The law provides the sort of space for basically any reason you can think of to expropriate land. And then the process that it sets up is also one that sort of, you know, really favors the government. So you're left with a situation where maybe you can win in the court. It's a bit of a sort of a coin toss and actually get some compensation. But the deck is stacked so strongly in favor of the state that it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, unless you're a very big like organization or corporate or multimillionaire.
Look, you know, I'll go one step further. I think that the way this has been phrased has been expropriation without compensation is taken to mean that sort of nil compensation. But remember, if something is taken away from you at less than its value, part of that value has been expropriated. You know, it's like yeah, I don't know. I keep on pointing this. To put this into layman's terms, people of my age, it's like, you know, they take your Hustler collection and they only pay you for one magazine. You know?
Yes, I suppose it is like that.
And look, and if anyone thinks I'm being flippant, you know, sometimes you got to laugh or you'll cry.
That is a motto I live by. This is exactly why the Expropriation Act needs to be repealed, because this kind of thing will only become more prevalent. And if the courts don't strike it down, it is going to open Pandora's box of wealth destruction in this country, which will not just hurt the property elites, will hurt ordinary South Africans, people who do not own property, people who need, you know, a job to get by in their life.
Think think in those terms that your house is the largest single investment most families will ever make. The idea that you know, you can chop off 30% of the value because the property market is just like not that great, because everyone's kind of afraid that some bigwig is going to roll in the name of the people. That's a biggie.
And this is why the courts must very seriously consider what exactly is going here. Yeah, and I hope that Sakali and everyone who's challenging the Expropriation Act in court is successful with this, because it is a dire threat to all South Africans.
Correct.
Okay, let us move on to something that's been kicked about recently. Voting can be really irritating and take a long time, especially when you know, there's logistical problems, of which these days, unfortunately, they increasingly seem to be. And Terence, you wrote recently on plans that have been suggested that the IEC should implement electronic voting in South Africa. Now, I have my own reasons for being quite skeptical of this, but do you just want to take us through the column that you had published on the dailyfriend.co.za?
Well, there's been a lot that's been said about the potential of this to manipulate elections. And those, I think, are reasonable concerns. I thought about this in terms of, well, what if you could, in fact, guarantee that that the system is perfect? You know, no one can hack it. You know, nobody's going to try any faniakare with it. I would still say it's a big Simon Cowell no from me. Why is that? Because it uses a type of technology that I think is very opaque to many of us. You know, if you look at a bulldozer or a crane or something, you kind of get the impression, your mind can wrestle with it. It's machinery replacing muscle power. So, yes, you know, obviously it's a powerful machine. You know how it works, but, you know, what any kind of information management system does essentially stands in for the human cognitive functions. And I think that there is something in that is beyond beyond most of our understandings. You know, you kind of know how your app works, but not how the neurons run around. And of course, anybody who has suffered from banking fraud knows exactly where this can go. Now, my concern is this. We're a society at a point of inflection. We have what could be a number of decisive elections coming up where you are likely to see the political hegemon reduced to bare bones. There's a lot of people who are very, very concerned about that prospect, or who hope to step into that breach. A lot of people have become very, very comfortable off the rent-seeking trappings and, you know, the dark underside of our political system. All of these people are extremely threatened by this. You take the old paper, you get rid of the old paper system, which, you know, has its problems. There's a bit of fraud with it. There are people who, after 24 hours on their feet, will write 91 instead of 19 on the forms and everything. But the point is that we are familiar with it. You have party agents who can check that the boxes aren't being stuffed. And that's why there's never been a serious challenge to any electoral outcome. Yes, there's been complaints about like the requirement for barcode only IDs, about inefficiencies of polling station, all quite correct. My fear is that if we take the country's sort of unsettled politics, put them on top of a new electoral system, you give the perfect a narrative for a bad actor to claim, yeah, I was screwed out of it. It doesn't have to be real. It doesn't have to be even widely believed. Just enough to start to question the legitimacy of the incoming government, and you know, enough to get you know, a couple of thousand people willing to sort of trash the city center. We all saw what happened when Jacob Zuma was sent to prison, and I think we would be well advised to stick with what we know, at least for the moment.
I completely agree with that, but I just want to take this a step further. I've observed or been a party agent at, or been in some way sort of around the last couple of elections. Like, I missed 2021 entirely, but anyway. So, you know, I'm pretty familiar with these elections. I've observed elections in townships, I've observed elections in suburbs, I've talked to people who've observed them in rural areas, so I've got a pretty good idea of how elections in South Africa actually work on the day. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you that there is not a single chance that this will work in any sort of realistic way. The IEC struggles every single year with the most basic of logistics. For example, they always have these zip-zap machines, which are supposed to sort of scan you, whether to check with you on the voters begin with. And every single year they have problems. And last time the problems were so bad that in many stations they just had to completely abandon the use of them. The idea that we'll even get to the stage where the votes will come out in any sort of proper tabulated form from an electronic system, I think is actually kind of, it's almost naive. We're not going to reach that point. We're going to have so many delays and so much chaos from trying to record the votes electronically. You're going to have power outages. You're going to have stolen machines. You're going to have, all the claims you talked about, the potential claims of fraud and this. You're going to have people who don't know how to work them. You're going to have bad internet signal for registering people on the system. It is going to be such a nightmare that it will force probably the redo of the election or a reversion to paper ballots anyway. Unless the IEC is completely mad, they would have paper ballots as a backup. Just don't go there. We're not ready for it.
No, I agree. And look, you know, I would also say, kind of on a quasi philosophical level, I am not in favor of voting being as easy as you can make it. I do think that there is something about the obligation of citizenship that it is not asking too much for people to stand in a queue. I don't think that it's. I think that there's something deeply wrong when people stand for 7, 8, 9 hours because no one can get the act together inside. But I do think that there is a small sliver of the civic engagement that a society needs when everyone stands together on a particular day, goes in and physically makes a mark in your little cardboard booth. Call it a ritual, but I think it's a ritual that we need.
I completely agree with that. I love voting in election days because I'm a weird nerd who does a podcast on the internet. But this truly is something I really enjoy. And sure. I do think it's a great civic ritual. And I do think that it's not that much to ask. You know, people who are disabled or people who are old, they get to go to the front of the line when your station is run properly. This is fixing a problem that doesn't exist. Just get more paper ballots to more places on time, and then the system won't have so many problems.
Absolutely. You know, don't fix what ain't broken. And whatever South Africa's multitudinous problems, and we discuss them ad nauseum, and I do mean ad nauseum, our elections are generally credible. You know, like I say, there's a glitch here and a problem there and a bit of finiakere at the other place. But the point is that, you know, if MK tried to make a big issue of this, I don't think anyone, even their own supporters, took that particularly seriously. My concern, though, is if you bring in something completely unfamiliar, that sort of message will gain traction.
100%. And the IEC is just, quite frankly, in no position to retrain everyone. You know, at the moment, they're getting by on the fact that so many people have done this for so long. New system,
and also they don't have so much money. They don't have much money anymore because we're all broke.
Yes. So just no. Just if you hear anyone talking up this idea, just tell them no. It's madness.
Tell them put it away, brother. Put it away.
Yes. All right. For our final story today, the headline on News24, I think it was "The Magic Is Lacking." Ramaphosa on Steenhuisen, GNU and the DA's social media leaks. Now, you know, there's stuff to be said about what's being said in this interview. President Cyril Ramaphosa was giving this interview, and he said, you know, it's his first interview and it took a really long time sitting down, and this one-on-one of the journalists, he's saying there's a lack of magic in his relationship with the DA's leader, John Steenhuisen, and that he's disappointed the DA is acting as an opposition party and still being in the government. He says the other parties in the GNU have been disciplined and are proud to be parties in the government, and they will defend the GNU to no end. Now the DA has chosen to play both roles, be in government and also in opposition, but much worse, to rubbish things that we do in government and to reveal some of the things that we do in government. And that, to me, is a great disappointment. I mean, I think this is rich because Ramaphosa doesn't even bother to meet with Steenhuisen or any of the other leaders of the GNU members. But putting that aside, Terence, you remarked this is like one of the few times he's given any
interview. No, I've been thinking about this for some months now. In fact, I was very surprised when I clicked on the link this morning. I said, this is a turn up for the books. And I actually asked a journalist some weeks ago, seasoned guy, what's his availability like to the media? He said, just non-existent. Jacob Zuma was far more accessible. Thabo Mbeki was very structured, but you know, he would give interviews. President Ramaphosa's favorite mode of communication is one way. I'll be on the podium at a family meeting, where, you know, I, as the great patriarch of the family, will tell you what the line is, and, you know, you will go forth and conjugate or whatever it is you do. I think that he, look, I think accounts like this are always interesting, if only to give you an insight of what's happening in someone's head or the narrative that they're trying to create. I think that he's correct on a few issues. Yes, it's certainly not ideal that the DA is playing this inside-outside role, but let's remember that's also how the ANC has treated them. I think Tony Leon was quite correct that they had no intention of honouring that statement of intent from the beginning, and they haven't. Certainly, he and his party colleagues have spoken about the GNU as the sort of dreadful compromise that, you know, and still regard the DA as an effective enemy. Okay, well, that's the way it is. That's the kind of politics that has been played in this country, not least by the president himself and by his party. You don't create a government and do away with that. The other interesting thing is that He, as you said, he talks about no magic. Well, okay, sorry, I have to get my thoughts together here. This is politics, not a happy, not a Harry Potter movie. What does he think? He and Stienhuysen need to go out, drinking, and that there's going to be an all-you-can-eat buffet and dancing girls. You don't form these combinations over personal chemistry, or form these arrangements of personal chemistry. It's hard bargaining, realizing that actually you don't have completely aligned interests. Now, of course, I think the transition came up as it always does. It's the great talisman of our political discourse. But let's remember, Nelson Mandela despised F.W. de Klerk. It comes up very, very clearly in the various accounts that have been written about it. That being said, he did understand the relationship enough to know that he needed de Klerk to essentially take the country through the transition and get himself into the presidential mansion. That is the level of maturity you need. I'm really sorry that he's not that this hasn't worked out socially as he wanted, but that was never that was never seriously on the table. And I would say actually that President Ramaphosa probably has very little to complain about there. He's been able to push, some of the most destructive policies of his party without let or hindrance. So he's they've continued with their agenda, and as in the past, the country as a whole is paying for it.
I think for me, one of the reasons I opposed the GNU at the beginning was because my biggest fear was that the DA would kind of become sort of cozily co-opted, the trappings of power. And you can see the ANC, I think, very deliberately tried to do this. They're trying to do it aggressively with all the other smaller opposition parties. The ones they describe as disciplined, I think, is not a thing in their favor. When Ramaphosa is describing you as disciplined,
Between disciplined
compliant,
and material system.
yeah, exactly. And I've been quite the fact that Ramaphosa is saying this, I was worried that with the DA sort of coming, if it would become sort of compliant to the way the ANC was doing things, you're in power, you kind of always can excuse anything by saying to yourself, well, we're doing some good here, so we'll put up with X, Y, or Z. That then we would be bereft of a real opposition party. When you look at the opposition provided by the MK and the EFF, sometimes they do expose anti-corruption stuff and that sort of thing. But by and large, they basically just say we will implement ANC policy but more aggressively. I think that, this is a sign really that that has not happened. My fear has not come to pass. The DA has not been co-opted, and that is why Ramaphosa is upset with them. That they are, an opposition with inside, which I think is exactly the role they should take right now, because the possibility for some sort of compromise at the beginning of the GNU seemed like it could be there, but it's become apparent since that there is not even the slightest desire within the ANC to change anything they're doing, or to compromise with their coalition partners, and
Look,
only
yeah,
when they are forced.
yeah. Look, I would say that this became apparent when it transpired that Ramaphosa had, or President Ramaphosa. So always be careful to show due respect to the office when he signed the expropriation bill into law in December, then waited a couple of weeks, clearly briefed the ANC deputy minister, but didn't even inform the DA minister responsible for it. That I think was not any bad faith, it was just petty. And I think that I think unfortunately, there's not a great deal of political skill or political capital left in the president if at one time he did indeed dispose of them. But I think basically he's been reduced to playing the to playing a politics of rhetoric and gestures. And kind of pranking the DA seems to be about as you know, about as erudite as he's able to become.
He's now also trying to badmouth the DA because he's because he's made his own party so angry with him because he dared to praise them the other day.
Look, you know, if he does regard DA municipalities in that light, there was nothing to stop them from, you know, doing that over 30 years. I remember concerns about the state of local government in 1997, nearly 30 years ago.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you found this show interesting. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow on the Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone, and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.